Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's Good Friday. Thanks for being with us. The Suns are bringing Rondae Hollis-Jefferson in today and DeLon Wright. Wow, some big news down there. The Diamondbacks bullpen last night did not get the job done, and I'm being kind. I watched the finals. I watched the baseball game. I was going back and forth. Finals last night for like the first, 8 to 10 minutes was kind of like kicking the rust off at a summer league game. Neither team looked all that great. I thought the tribute that ESPN, ABC did for Stuart Scott was really cool at halftime that Mike Wilbon voiced. The game itself in the late parts of it had great drama. The television number was really big, really, really, really big. We'll talk about that as the show moves on today. And I think that you look at Cleveland, they were the underdog to begin with. And the big story today is an MRI. That's the biggest story of the sports day today nationally is what is the MRI for Kyrie Irving show. So we'll get into that. Dan Marley is going to be with us at 10:20 this morning. And we'll break down the finals from last night with Thunder Dan. I actually need to talk to him about some Suns stuff. Was he there when they had the Amari for Steph Curry trade done? And if that deal had happened, would he be coaching Grand Canyon University today, or would the Suns have gone a completely different direction? Also, I have to ask him straight up, did Alvin Gentry in New Orleans pursue him, Dan, and that's why last week he got a 4-year extension? And I don't really do too much NBA with Dan, because I think it's almost insulting to say we're going to put Dan Marley on, the head coach of Grand Canyon, and we're not even going to talk about Grand Canyon at all. So I don't do that. He's got some new player. Have you seen the new player, Eric? He's a Scrabble player.
No, I've not seen him. I've seen his name, and I can't say it.
Can't say his name. It's longer than Salta Lamakia. It is longer than Salta Lamakia. So I got to find out about the new player and some other things with Dan Marley, but mostly about the Warriors and Cavs last night, because that's fresh on everybody's minds. We'll talk with Dan Marley. The Belmont is tomorrow. Bob Baffert from U of A, from Nogales. I wrote a column about him that's up on sports360az.com. I think it's a terrific local Arizona story, and that's what we're all about. He is the trainer for American Pharoah tomorrow, trying to make history. Those of you that are probably in your 40 or above, horse racing has been something or was something that people looked forward to when it was the Triple Crown or the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont. If you're under 40, that's changed. For whatever reason, horse racing doesn't carry the same sort of cachet with some of the younger generation as it used to. And the race tomorrow is enormous. Horse racing's not as popular. Boxing isn't as popular. Those are two sports that have just declined in popularity. But I think tomorrow there's real intrigue and real interest just for that 2.5-3 minutes when the Belmont's being run tomorrow to see if American Pharoah can pull off something that we've not seen in 37 years in sport. And then we'll have Goody at the movies. Goody told me a couple weeks ago that Spy was really, really good. He didn't sound like he hated Entourage and Love and Mercy. So I've got three movies I got to run by Bill, and we'll probably do a little bit of media criticism, critique, and all that stuff. So that's all straight ahead on the show. Let's get you caught up with what is on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Santan Ford experience. Sometimes, guys, in life, you have things that come up, and you better be connected, and you better be able to be nimble and mobile. And that happened to me yesterday, right in the middle of this show. 10-year-old breaks his wrist. He's taken over to a local hospital, looks severe, instead of just an urgent care, so it'll cost me a few more dollars. It's fine. Nonetheless, as soon as the show's over yesterday, I have a quick meeting to get out, and I want to get down to the hospital. And I'm on my sync support system, my sync command center that is in the Ford Fusion that I drive from Santan Ford. I mean, General Manager Tim Hovick, he told me when I first started driving the Fusion, he said, hey, this is a vehicle that makes a lot of sense for you. You actually fit in it. It looks good. When you're 6'8", I don't just fit into anything. So I'm on the road before I'm even out of the parking lot. I'm calling the hospital, calling my wife, calling my son. And, okay, what do we know? Where is he? It's just a broken wrist. Not that big of a deal. Are there people there at the hospital with them? Oh, it sounds pretty severe. He broke it in two places. All right. I don't know about you, but information to me is important. And when it comes to my family, I had one of those situations yesterday, coordinating people to cover this, to get over there to that, to make sure that everything on the insurance side is taken care of. I'm not sitting there with a phone to my ear doing that. And the Sinks Command Center made a lot of sense for me just yesterday. I talk about my daily life in my vehicle because that's where I am. Now, how about you? Are you in the right car, the right truck, new, used, certified, pre-owned? They can handle all that for you. A summer vacation here. Have you put off that vehicle that makes the most sense? Santan Ford, stop on in. Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Or go to santanford.com, Santan Ford, where it's all about you. The game last night, Harrison Barnes in overtime was able to seal the deal. He wasn't the biggest part of this game, but he was sure an important cog.
Curry, hook pass up top, Iguodala. Chest pass over to Barnes. He's open. He'll fire. Three ball! Left corner pocket, Harrison Barnes! Golden State has their largest lead of the game at 105-98, and the Cavaliers call time.
Okay, there's another angle I forgot about Phoenix. That's Tim Roy, who was in Phoenix for years and years and years and years. And he does the play-by-play for Golden State. I totally forgot about Tim. Here is Steve Kerr after the game. Steve Kerr, coach of the Warriors. They weren't good early, but they never lost their cool.
Wasn't our best game, but we did a lot of things well. We only turned it over 12 times. You know, after that slow start, we started to move the ball better, and we fought. That was the biggest thing. We just competed and stayed with it.
Now, the last play of the game, I was disappointed that the ball didn't get into LeBron James' hands sooner. LeBron had 44. Come on. You don't wait around till it's at 8, till it's at 7 to get the ball into his hands to try to get the game-winning shot. It was an impossible shot for him to put up. He put up 38 shots on the night. It's an awful lot of shots, but you know what? When you're scoring 44 and there's not much else around to help you out, I'm fine with him taking the shots. It's just on that last play of regulation, they should have gotten a better look.
My mindset was we're either going to go out here with a win or we're going to overtime. I'm going to get the last shot. Actually, Shump was able to get another look at it, but I got to where I wanted to get, stepped back, made them before us, make or miss lead, you know, and we had our chances.
So people that want to pound on LeBron James, you're just going to hate on him no matter what. It's really interesting. He's a polarizing figure in that you either really love him or really hate him. There's no middle ground. Michael Jordan, I don't think, had that same sort of hate. There were people that really hated on Michael Jordan. He was revered and loved, top to bottom. There's always going to be someone, for whatever reason, with LeBron, that says, "Well, he should have scored in overtime." You know, he's not really all that. He's not really. Have you looked at the lineup that he had alongside of him?
And it's also a different era because we have Twitter and social media and all these shows on ESPN that just constantly talk about back when Jordan played, there was a lot less of that. And so the hatred and I guess the fire didn't burn quite as bright as it does now.
When he refers to himself in third person, okay, that's always going to annoy some people. When he did the decision, there's going to be people that will never let that go. When he did the one championship, two championship, three championship, four championship in Miami, there'll be people that will never let that go. Mm-hmm. And I have to look at it and say, I don't know. When he said he's going to go to all these championships and win them, he's at least been there. I don't know. How many championships have you been to? How many championships have you come close to? So I admire him. I like greatness, but I get that you have to have villains. Villains in sports, I've said this forever, you have to have villains, and villains in sports go hand in hand. He's
and
that
I thought
guy.
For sure, Brad, when the shot went up, he was going to make it.
Oh, I did too.
The scene was set for him to make that shot.
Sure, but there's the likability factor of Steph Curry. I can't find anybody who thinks anything is bad about Steph Curry.
No, because there really isn't.
There isn't, but what is it about LeBron that's so bad? I mean, really, what is it about him that's so bad? Is it because he can be a bull in a china shop? Like last night, he got away with some calls. There's no question. Andre Iguodala did a good job. I don't know how you can defend him without fouling out of the game because nobody's going to call him. When he got that foul in the first minute of the game, I thought Mike Breen was going to just collapse and fall and grab his chest like, oh my gosh, we may not have LeBron James on the floor for the first game of the finals. He may get in foul trouble. I don't know. After that, it didn't seem like anything was really coming LeBron's way, right?
Yeah, and it was a foul. In the first minute of the game.
Yeah,
but maybe, maybe people like Steph Curry because Steph Curry went from, I don't want to say rags to riches, but he was such an undersized, under-the-radar prospect who basically turned into a megastar. LeBron has always been a megastar. Elementary school, middle school, St. Vincent, St. Mary's,
okay, so
the Cavs.
Let me throw this one at you. Steph Curry pushes State Farm, right?
Mm-hmm.
What else does Steph Curry push? Have you seen anything else that he pushed? Did you see any commercials last night?
Nope.
Like, I saw the Draymond Green commercial for Beats last night, and I just thought it was obnoxious. That's great that Draymond Green has an endorsement. You know the one I'm talking about? Where he's got the media around him, and he's like, I'm just going to tune all these people out, and I'm going to throw on my headphones, and I'm not going to pay attention to anybody asking questions. Maybe it's too close to our industry. It's fine. Maybe some of the questions coming in were just absolutely ridiculous. Maybe the fact I remember that it's Beats and Draymond Green, that it worked. I don't know. But Steph Curry doesn't do that. LeBron is all over the place. LeBron has a lot of endorsements. His brand is global. It's worldwide. It's not that I'm jealous. I just think there's people that are just kind of sick of him. Has he been over-publicized? Has he been overexposed, the term that they use? I don't know. If the decimal point keeps moving for him, do it while you can. The Diamondbacks last night, so the bullpen wasn't good. There's no other way to put it. Thought Robbie Ray did a nice job. I actually thought they're going to beat Matt Harvey. And that's going to end up, what would it have been? It would have been five of their last seven they would have won. They had the lead. They bring in Dominic Leone, the new guy, and Dominic Leone just wasn't good.
And Plawecki hits it to deep center field. Back goes Pollock to the warning track, near the wall. And it's in play near the yellow line, but not out. Two runs will score. Plawecki in at second with a two-run double. And the Mets lead it 2-1.
Gary Cohn, who's been there forever, and the Mets would go on and win by a score 6-2. The Diamondbacks had some chances last night. They did have some chances. Goldschmidt hit one out. Sauta Lamacchia hit one out. But disappointing, because Ray gave them a good effort. The Belmont is tomorrow. I don't know if American Pharoah is going to win this. We'll have Jimmy Vaccaro on in about 15 minutes. Do you put down $20 on American Pharoah? I've heard American Pharoah has gained weight rather than losing weight. The length of this race is a lot longer, and it's been 37 years since a horse run the Kentucky Derby. It all points towards, no, American Pharoah's not going to win. So we'll talk with Jimmy about that and much more. Then Goody at the Movies at about 10:50. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
One of the absolute downers about yesterday, I talked about this in the show a little bit earlier. I'm in the emergency room yesterday, and there's my 10-year-old son, all 5'7", 215 pounds of him at 10 years of age. He's been killing it in basketball. He said this summer he wanted to go to Dan Marley's basketball camp, and instead he's all casted up. His wrist is broke. I was going to rave about my son today when Dan was coming on the show and just tell him, you know, you're recruit for the 2024 class, whatever he's going to be. He's not going to be there. You're going to be down one big here in a few weeks. So my son was devastated by that. How are you?
You know, I'm good, but just tell him to persevere. Unfortunately, I had a lot of that when I was growing up, too. I was in a cast almost every summer. So it'll make him stronger, and we'll look forward to seeing him next year.
Yeah, roller skates don't mix when you're that big. That's just the way
it is. No, they sure don't.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so I have a whole bunch of stuff I want to run by you that people have been sending me about you. Alvin goes to New Orleans, you get a raise. Is there any coincidence there? Did anybody contact you? It's what I've been asked.
No. All right. No. You know, I've said from the beginning that I came here for a purpose and for a reason, and you know, I'm going to stay here. I love Grand Canyon. I really enjoy President Mueller and Mr. Colangelo and their vision of what this place can be, and it's my job and my coaching staff to do that, and I couldn't be happier where I'm at, and I'm excited about our future, and I'm excited about you know, getting a new deal and being here for another 4 years.
And I'm excited for you, but I would have to think some people, I don't mean just in the New Orleans case, there have been people that have reached out to you, haven't there, over the time you've been at GCU?
Yeah, I get inquiries all the time, but like I said, this is the perfect place for me. I have, you know, like you, I have young kids that are still here in Phoenix, and this is the place I want to be. I fell in love with this place in 1988, and even though I've played for other teams, I've always come back here, and this is where I want to be. I couldn't be in a better situation than Grand Canyon and the future, and the way this thing is being built. I can't see myself doing anything else or wanting to do anything else.
All right, what is Cleveland going through right now? Because at one point in time, you were in Cleveland. That city has been through a nightmare and a half. What do you think they're going through?
Well, I mean, this is the greatest time of year for them. This is unbelievable. This whole year has been a kind of a roller coaster for him, but to have LeBron come back and to get all the way to the finals again, the city's on fire, obviously. And I think it's going to be a great series to go in there. And I think game one's always the game that you can probably steal, especially after a long layoff for both teams. I think it's going to be a really good series. I think most of the games will come down to the last couple minutes. And anytime LeBron is playing the way he's playing, they're going to be in the series and they're going to be in every game. So they're having their time of life. I mean, I look back on my career in 92 and 93 when I played in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
That is the bright spot to my career. And, you know, LeBron's obviously been there for a long time, but for Cleveland to be in the finals again, they're having the time of their lives.
Okay, so I'm looking at last night's game, as I'm sure you are, and replaying it. I don't subscribe to the criticism of LeBron James today. I know there's people out there that don't like him for whatever reason. The 38 shots that he took to get his 44 points is a point of contention in some people's minds. I just don't see it that way. Is that too many shots for him?
No. You know, LeBron is not a selfish player, and I think down the stretch he gave it up a few times, and I think him with the ball in his hands, he's going to make the right decision. And for him taking shots is probably the best decision for him. You know, I don't think JR played real well last night. You know, his supporting cast didn't do a whole lot. You know, Mozgov's been really good for him. But for them to contend and to win a championship, I think LeBron's going to have to score 40. I mean, Michael did that when he played against us in the finals. I mean, he had games where he had 40, he had 50. You know, in those kind of situations, the best player's got to take over, and you can trust LeBron that he's going to make the right play. That's why he's so good. He's very unselfish, and sometimes I think that, you know, he does defer a little bit too much. He's unstoppable. So yeah. I think with the ball in his hands, he's got to make the decisions and live with them.
I thought in the first quarter he was going to end up with 60. He was on an amazing pace just in the early part of the game.
Yeah, he's just like, you know, when Jordan and those guys, when he's able to start making jump shots, obviously he hasn't gotten to where he can consistently make a three-point shot. If he's ever been able to do that, he'll be even more unstoppable, because with the size and his ability to handle the ball and go in and post up, you can't stop him, especially with the rules that they have as far as putting your hands on people. So you just kind of have to play off him a little bit, and hopefully he takes a lot of jump shots if you're a Golden State fan and he doesn't make them.
I mean, the Kyrie block on Steph Curry, where would you put that among defensive plays that you've seen? Was it just?
Well, it was good. Yeah, he didn't give up on the play. I think Curry thought he got by him, and he was a little lackadaisical and laying up there and kind of took his time. And it just tells you, Kyrie just stayed in the play and was able to use his athleticism to get up there and get a finger on the ball. And I don't think Curry even thought that he would be there. So it just goes to show you that you're never out of play. And if you get beat as a defender, you got to stay in the play. And that was one of those plays where he got back into it, and it was a great block.
Talking to Dan Marley for a couple of minutes, head coach Grand Canyon University with Brad Susmat. The MRI results have not come back as of yet. If he is out for the rest of this series, is Cleveland done?
Well, it'll make it extremely hard, obviously. I have a hard time saying it's done, because what LeBron can do, and Dellavedova has shown that he can step up and have big games in the series. And I think JR is going to have to play really well if he's out, because Kyrie is able to really do a good job of providing that extra punch and a guy who can score. So I wouldn't say that they're done, but it's going to be extremely hard. And you know, I picked Golden State to win this series before it started. I thought it'd be real close, but if Kyrie is unable to play, I think it'll be a little easier.
What adjustments will we see Sunday in Game 2?
I don't think there'll be a lot of adjustments. I think guys will be sharper. You know, that first quarter wasn't a great quarter because I think the layoff hurt both teams. I think LeBron's going to have to continue to score a lot of points. Golden State may do more of a double team or something like that. It just depends on, you know, what their philosophy is. You know, a lot of people say just let LeBron a score and stay on those other guys, and he scores 40 and hope the other guys don't do well, then you win. But I think Curry will be a little bit sharper, and Klay Thompson will be a little bit sharper. So this is a big game. You know, Cleveland obviously would just like to go into Golden State and steal one and go back to Cleveland with 1-1. So this is going to have to be something where Golden State's going to have to come out and play real well.
I mean, you look at it, Dan, they were just a fall away jumper from winning And if they do, Kyrie's not there in overtime. I know people are banging that angle into the ground today. You can get hurt at any point in time during a game, but they didn't play their best. Golden State didn't play their best. And yet LeBron makes that big shot. They have control of this series. So the margin is pretty narrow. I know that Vegas thinks, most people think Golden State's going to win this thing, as do I, as do you. But it's not that, there's not that big of a difference, or is there?
No, there isn't. And this is going to be, you know, one of those series where I expect Cleveland to beat Golden State at home one game. And that doesn't mean that Golden State's not going to go back to Cleveland and beat them. I think momentum's going to continue to switch, as we've seen in a lot of these playoff series. And that's what two good teams do. I mean, you're not a good team in the NBA unless you win on the road, and both these teams can win on the road. So, you know, Golden State's got the momentum now. It doesn't mean if Cleveland goes in there the next game and beats them and they go home with the home court advantage that Cleveland is going to win it either. I think it's just going to be a battle back and forth. And home court does mean something, but mm-hmm. I think both teams can win on the road. And I think it's just going to be an up-and-down series, and we're going to see a lot of momentum swings. And, you know, I've said all along that I think it's probably going to go seven games, and it's going to be close.
Were you in the room when the Steph Curry for Amari deal? You were in the room, right?
I was in the room. Yeah, I was in the room. I wasn't privy to all the conversations. I know there was a big buzz about us being able to get Steph, and they thought that it was going to get done, and there was a big letdown when it didn't happen. But yeah, you know, that was something that was talked about, and people were very excited.
If it had happened, would you and I be having this conversation today about GCU?
Oh, I don't know. Even if it didn't happen, I didn't think I'd be having this conversation about GCU.
Yeah.
You know, I was in line to, I thought, have at least a shot at coaching the Suns, and obviously they went a different direction.
Right.
And sometimes when doors closes, other doors open, and
no,
I couldn't
right.
be happier that this door opened. And it was actually a blessing because, like I said, I've never been happier as far as coaching and being here and the experiences I've had here thus far.
No, and I've said that to you straight up. One door closes, another door opens. I think it's been great for you to be over there and to see the program build, and you're on the precipice of doing some pretty cool things nationally. Okay, the Scrabble player that you brought in from Coastal Carolina, all I can say is Euros, right?
Yeah.
It's Euros,
yeah.
And then the last name of Euros is, help me.
Yeah, that's a good question.
All right.
I'm just going to call him Euros.
Good. So I'm not bad just saying, hey, Dan got a transfer from Coastal Carolina named Euros.
Yeah, we're excited about him. He's not here. We have everybody on campus now working our camps, and we're going to have workouts here in June. Euros has to finish one class at Coastal Carolina, so he'll be here in July. He's one of those guys, just another veteran who's a tough kid, has played in the NCAA tournament, can score with his back of the basket. He's a five-man. Talking to the coaching staffs and the guys that have coached him said he can really score against anybody. So that's something that we really missed last year, somebody that we can throw the ball into and get us a couple points on the block. But
right.
I think for the most part, he's really tough. He can run. He'll compete. And that's going to bring a lot of toughness and seniority to a team that's pretty young.
Yeah, have anybody else coming in the summer? Or are you set? I mean, you're never set as a coach. I get that, but
yeah, we have one scholarship left. Whether we use it or not, I'm not sure. We'll just see how the rest of the summer goes and what we have, and see if anybody pops up. But you know, right now we're pretty happy with our roster, and we'll see where this goes with another a scholarship. It's always good to be able to save one scholarship in case a mid-season guy pops up or. You find somebody that wants to transfer or whatever. So
sure.
We'll just see how that goes.
I can't be specific with you. I'm going to leave you with this question or just this little dialogue, but I'm getting asked about the in-state top-of-the-top high school basketball players that are coming up in the next few years in Grand Canyon University. You cannot talk specifics. I get that. Do you feel like you're around the state being accepted by every level of player? How's that for being as open-ended as possible?
Yeah, I think it's good. I think we're in the conversation with kids like that, and that's one of our goals is to be able to get some of the top players here in Arizona. We have Kenzo Noodle coming in this year, who I think and I know he's probably he was the best shooter in the state this year. I think he's going to be a big part of our team here for the next 4 years. So, you know, one of our goals here is to be able to recruit some of the top players in Arizona. And, you know, we're in conversation with those kids now. So that's exciting. I think they see the growth They come on campus here and they see games. They see our atmosphere. They see 7,200 people packed in the gym. They see the competition we're playing. So as we get closer to being able to play in the NCAA tournament, and as we get better and get better players, we'll continue to get in those conversations. But kids are definitely listening.
When you are aiming for the top of the top and they're going to schools that are in the SEC and ACC and making visits, how do you respond to that? What is your attack? Is it you're local, you stay here, you have an enthusiastic crowd, we're growing, we're going to be in the tournament. What's your pitch to those players at the top level?
Well, our pitch is that, beautiful campus, staying locally, playing in front of great crowds, playing great competition. You know, we have Louisville, San Diego State, playing on campus, which is a big deal. We're always going to play top competition. And then for a lot of those kids, their dreams and aspirations are to play college or to play basketball after college, whether it be in the NBA, whether that be overseas. And, you know, I tell them I've been there. I've done it at a 14-year career. I went to a mid-major, a smaller school. You'll have great connections. And obviously with Mr. Colangelo and his involvement here at GCU, the doors that he could open for you, literally nobody in the world could do what he could do for you. That doesn't mean that he's going to give you a free pass. But if you have the ability to play after college and you work at it, some of the doors that can be opened for you at GCU are like no other.
Meaning the Olympics?
Meaning everything. Yeah. I mean, you know, Mr. Yeah. Colangelo, with his connections in the NBA, with his connections overseas, with the people that he knows, one phone call and you can open some doors. So, and then just the ability, and I tell the kids all the time that a lot of people, pretty much everybody I recruit, and every college coach recruits, these kids want to play after, and most of them don't know how hard that is and what it entails. And I can tell them and I can show them both mentally and physically what it takes to be a pro and what you have to do day in and day out for the next 40 years to put yourself in the best position to be able to do that.
Do you have all purple Nikes? I'll let you go off that. Have those arrived yet?
I have so many Nikes that I may have to get another closet. I've been with Nike since 88, so Nike is my shoe, and we just signed a new 5-year deal with Nike,
right,
which puts us right in the deals with all the other high mid-major groups. So we are officially a Nike school, and I couldn't be more happy about that because Nike is the best company in the world. Just got off a Nike retreat with all the other Nike coaches in Hawaii, and we had big business meetings. And the product that they put out there and the growth that they've made has been astounding, and we couldn't be more proud to be a Nike school because kids really do want to wear Nike and they enjoy it. And that's just another plus that we have here at Grand Canyon.
I want to see the all-purple Nikes, and you rock those.
I'll even get you a pair, big guy.
Practice. Listen to you. I can't take. Well, I might. I don't know.
Yeah, you can. Just give me your size. I'll
sure.
There'll be one under the tree. Don't worry
about it. That's it. Appreciate the time and the visit as always, Dan. Thanks.
Hey, Brad. Thanks.
You got it. Dan Marley for a couple of minutes. Appreciate his time. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, it's good to go to Vegas now. Brad Sussmat with you. Jimmy Vaccaro, 38-year Vegas bookmaker, South Point Casino Resort. Odds maker this weekend, it is the Belmont Stakes. A very strong Arizona angle with Bob Baffert, who grew up in Nogales, who went to the U of A, and actually said that he went to the U of A because there's just not a chance he would go to ASU. Hates ASU. That's from the Nogales thing. It's fine. He's trying to do something that if you're below the age of about 40, you just don't get horse racing in all likelihood. I'm not criticizing you. It's just a fact that in the day, for those of us above 40, if there was a Triple Crown or whenever there was the Derby and the Preakness and the Belmont, the world stopped. It's kind of like boxing. This is one of those things, if you're below 40, you should be into tomorrow. And whether it's to go to Vegas to put down a bob or two or wherever it may be, that's why Jimmy is with us for a couple of minutes, to talk about American Pharoah trying to pull off a bit of history. Do you agree with me, by the way, Jimmy, on the horse racing angle, that it's not what it once was? In our years, it was a big deal.
You're right on, Brad. Nice to talk to you. It's been a while, but yep. From the bookmaker's angle, this is as good as it gets for us because, as you stated, horse racing has been on a decline for the past 15 or 20 years. We just can't seem to get the younger generation involved. Now, when something historic is about to happen, that's a different story. We started out with a huge Kentucky Derby, but remember, the Kentucky Derby weekend was coupled with the huge fight of the decade there, so that helped. And then naturally, then as a bookmaker, again, you're rooting for American Pharoah to win the Preakness because it sets up a big event. Put it this way, we are having opening up another ballroom to accommodate about another 500 guests that wouldn't have made reservations this weekend if you weren't booked the Triple Crown. If there wasn't a Triple Crown thing involved with this, it would be a normal June Saturday afternoon in the race book. We need all the big days that we can get, and this will be one of them. Make no mistake about that.
What do you see in this race? Is it American Pharoah's to take, or the horse has gained weight? There's a longer distance, not a chance to touch this horse. What's the view?
Well, I think it's American Pharoah. Not that I'm an expert on horse racing, but just, you know, being around people that are and just picking up a few angles when I've seen. The biggest thing that I took from it, and it was talked about, but, you know, American Pharoah, we know it's tough running this grueling three races in a five span, but, you know, he let up quite a bit. The jockey obviously knows what he's doing, and so does Baffert. They didn't punish this horse in the Preakness. It looked like he just coasted in, which I believe saved probably a 4 to 7 days of, like, you know, putting all out. So naturally, and it looks like it's just going to be frosted in materiality, one's going to be challenging. And the other thing that's a little, you know, dismayed at this point in time, you know, watching these races for the past 40-some years, you know, we're down to an 8-horse field. It's a different racket. It's a different way of doing business. You just see people just pull their horses. I'd rather see a big field. But with this, it's going to be American Pharoah, tied into frosted or materiality and all the gimmick bets that we offer here in Las Vegas.
All right. If somebody comes up from Arizona, wherever they're taking us in California, you have a big audience as well. If they stop in at South Point Casino Resort, you're betting horses. You've never done horse betting before. What tips would you give them?
The tip is very simple. You know, come a little bit early. Don't rush up 5 minutes before the Belmont Stakes is about to go off. Come a little bit early. You see someone standing around in an empty window, which there won't be many of leading up to it. But ask the question before you go to the window. Don't wait in line for 20 minutes. When you get to the front, then tell someone you don't know what you're doing. And then the people behind you seem to get hot and aggravated, too. Come early. If you see people like me just standing around looking like they're doing nothing, you know, walk on over, and I will explain. To look for a supervisor, look for someone who's not busy at that moment. Just don't wait until you're in line for 20 minutes. Get to the front and then throw your hands up. Everybody gets aggravated over that, and you can see why.
Before I let you go, the NBA Finals, how's that playing so far in Vegas?
Monster game last night, obviously dramatic as can be. A lot of early money was on the Cleveland Cavaliers to win that series yesterday. Naturally, they surely had a chance to steal one. But again, the last hurrah until we obviously pick up on Del Mar in July, then exhibition football. So stretch it out. Seven games, more games, better for bookmakers. But it looks a little dire now. Look, questionable for Kyrie Irving. Point spread right now is 7.5 for game two, total 202. And I think the Cavs are in trouble without this kid, although LeBron played a magnificent game, but I don't think he can pull the weight of this whole thing. But it should be interesting. He won't give up, I can guarantee you that.
There's no question about it. Thanks, Jimmy, as always. Stay well.
All right, pal.
You got it. Jimmy Vaccaro up in Vegas, South Point Casino and Resort, 38 years getting it done. Goody at the Movies is next, and we've got a lot to get to with Bill, with Spy, Entourage, Love and Mercy, and probably a little bit around the NBA broadcast. The numbers last night were astronomical, just a huge audience that tuned in to watch the NBA Finals. All that straight ahead with Bill. Goody Kunz, chief film critic and media critic with AZ Central and Gannett. That's next.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, coming into a big sports weekend, it's time to get you ready for the movies. Bill Goody Kunz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central, to get you to the movies tonight, tomorrow. You guys, you know you need to make it up to her, so get on out and see the movies. Last week, Bill was just grumpy. He had nothing positive to say about anything at all, and we got him out of here before it was too obnoxious. Today, actually gave him some extra time because I think, are you a kinder, gentler movie critic today? Are you going to be happy about some of these things?
Well, the movies are better.
Yeah. We've been talking for a few years. You were as just grumpy last week as I've ever heard. Like,
I wasn't grumpy. I just didn't like the movie.
Well, I
was my usual charming self. I just didn't like the movies that I had to talk about.
Okay. You tipped it last week, though, that you really liked Spy that comes out. It looks very funny. Is this movie worth seeing this weekend?
Absolutely. At first glance only. I mean, go see that one. It's hilarious. It's the funniest movie of the summer. I've seen something coming up in a month or two that's probably a little bit funnier, but this is just fall down funny, laugh out loud. You know, Melissa McCarthy is really funny to begin with, but she's like in Bridesmaids or something like that. But when they try to give her her own movie, she's gotten some bad scripts, and it hasn't reflected as well on her. And this, she gets exactly what she needs, and she is terrific. And Jason Statham, who, you know, is usually like this tough guy, you know, like, you know, he has a blast just sort of making fun of his own image and stuff. You talk about grumpy, he doesn't think Melissa McCarthy who should go out in the field as a spy. So he tells her all these things that he's done and why she's not worthy and about, like, you know, he was in a car chase on top of a moving train on fire. Not the car was on fire, he was on fire. he tops everything he does. And at one of the very last scenes, he just had this throwaway line that just killed me. Wouldn't mean anything out of context, but wait for that.
All right. So you're gushing over this now.
You know who's also really funny is Rose Byrne, and you wouldn't necessarily always think it. She was, you know, this sort of snooty bride and bridesmaid, but she was in the Neighbors movie with Seth Rogen, and she was really funny in that, and she's good in this. There's this thing that happens where the movie's really funny. Melissa McCarthy is this grumpy little kind of, she's an analyst for the CIA. She's trained as an agent, but she works in the basement in Langley, and there's like rats in the ceilings and all this stuff. It's kind of a running joke. And she helps Jude Law, who's more of a James Bond type, and he's got this little earpiece, and she's got all these computers, and she can tell you what's coming, so he never gets killed or anything, because she always knows what's around the corner. But she just kind of, you know, she never really, what would you call it, thrives, I guess you'd say. And she ends up going out on this mission that's kind of funny, and they make her even frumpier than she was, so she'll be undercover. And Rose Byrne is this really rich, kind of bad guy, terrorist kind of woman. And she is just hilarious. And they get to this place where they just do this insult comedy back and forth between the two of them for like 20 minutes. And it's just great. Melissa McCarthy is great at that.
All right. You're gushing on this, and it's fine. Yeah. And you've pretty much told the whole story of the entire movie except for the line. So we're going to move on from that. Go see Spy. Entourage. Entourage, I mentioned this to you last week, not to belabor the point. To me, it doesn't look all that great. I love the series. You kind of disagreed. That was last week, but you didn't want to give it away. Take me a little deeper into Entourage.
It is. It's okay. I mean, if you like the series, you probably like the movie. But the disappointing thing to me was that they didn't really do anything different. And I do have to say this, you know, that sort of like endless hedonism of just like these bros who have made it and like are just, you know, all they do is spend money on women and parties and stuff. You know, when they were younger, that played a little differently than it does now. And, you know, and probably maybe, you know, we're not young anymore either. And you kind of
well,
see
speak
these
for yourself. What are you talking about? What do you mean? What are you saying?
Unless you got a clock, it goes backwards, pal. You're in the same boat as the rest of us. But I don't know. I just didn't think that it was, I wanted something different from it, something more. And I have to say, even in the last week, it hasn't aged as well in my mind as it might have. And if you're comparing it to something else, I mean, you know, you got to go see Spy first. Entourage there is absolutely, I mean, you talk about a movie that it doesn't matter if you see it on TV because it's basically a TV show.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah,
no,
there's absolutely no reason to run out. Go see that. I wish I'd have thought of that when I was writing my review.
Well, you can always go back. Can't you go back and say, hey, editor, I've got to add a little bit more, you know?
The paper's out, so kind of late.
But you got some control over that. You could do this tomorrow.
A little bit, yeah.
You got a little bit of swag, a little bit of pull. Bill Goodykins with us, AZ Central Chief Film Critic, Media Critic. Love and Mercy. Good?
Cool movie.
Yeah?
Especially if you like Brian Wilson. You know, Brian Wilson...
Beach Boys.
I read all the cool Beach Boys songs.
Yep.
Had a really, really tough time of it. Really had some mental problems. Drugs didn't help. But he heard songs, you know, like nobody else ever did. And he... The cool thing about this movie is it's not just a straight-up autobiography. He's played by two different people. Paul Dano is a really good actor. He plays the younger Brian Wilson, who's like the creative genius. And he, you know, he spends 2 hours with two cello players trying to get them to do that thing at the beginning, Good Vibrations. And like everybody else in the studio is just sitting there, like, can we please come on? And he's like, nope, nope, I have to hear it, I have to hear it. And the cello players don't seem to mind it. And of course, it ends up, you know, being great. So that's the kind of Paul Dano part that we get. John Cusack plays the later Brian Wilson, who was under the thumb of Dr. Eugene Landy, who was this sort of bad guy therapist who was really controlling Wilson's life and threatening him and telling him if he didn't listen to everything he did and do everything he said, he would put him in a mental institution. And, of course, Wilson didn't want that. He could not have done that, but Wilson was in the place where he did not understand that. And so it's really different. And they go back and forth, back and forth. And it's interesting in that way. I feel like the Paul Dano stuff, I love John Cusack, and I talked to him for this movie, but the Paul Dano stuff is just better because you're never going to beat that just fascinating creativity, you know, where, like, you see a guy doing something that nobody's done before. He wanted to make the album Smile, which he called one of the great rock phrases ever. He said it's a teenage symphony to God. And, you know, he never quite got there. He never got to do that. But a bunch of that part of the movie is him making pet sounds. And his cousin, Mike Love, is always telling him, like, well, no, we need to go back to what we were doing before. And he's like, no, man, I got to go on. I got to go on. And then Paul McCartney calls God Only Knows what one of the songs on the record, one of his favorite song ever written. You know, it's cool that way. And the Cusack stuff is kind of painful to watch. It's like, it wasn't that long ago. You know what I mean? The 1990s is when some of this stuff happened. And it's amazing that this guy... fairly publicly had such control over a really famous person.
Is this a camel view or is this wide?
It's kind of in between.
Is it?
In more places in camel view, but it's not everywhere. So you're going to have to look a little bit, but it's not just one place. Definitely worth seeing.
Are you a fan of John Cusack, by the way?
I love John Cusack.
Yeah.
And he was very nice on this interview. I interviewed him 2 or 3 times before, and he's one of those guys that, you know, it's kind of, you know, you talk about me last week. I feel like that would have been a good day for him. But he was actually very nice this time around. And I think one of the reasons was that it. I think this really meant a lot to him. I think that these guys really felt personally invested in this because, you know, Wilson is still a pretty fragile guy, and he. I think they feel like they kind of owed it to him to really do their best. I don't know, but yeah, Say Anything is one of the all time great. You know, movies for that kind of thing. It's not really a teen movie, but you know, I gave her my heart. She gave me a pen. You know, I love that movie.
But like being John Malkovich, I'm just trying to think of John Cusack. It's not coming to me. I don't have a lot of John Cusack coming to me, Bill.
Well, you got to see Say Anything. Go back and see Say Anything because it's one of those rare movies. It's actually better than you remember it being. I showed it to my oldest daughter a couple of years ago, and I was like, oh, I think you'll like this. And we were sitting there. And she was like, oh, I do like this. This is really good. And I was like, well, I love it.
Like, yeah, I mean, Con Air comes to mind.
No, that's the stuff he just does for money that he... But when he's doing stuff like being John Malkovich or Say Anything, or, you know, one of his earliest movies was this movie called The Sure Thing, and it was a Rob Reiner movie. And he was going this cross-country trip to go to this fraternity or his friend's fraternity house to meet this girl who was going to be The Sure Thing. And that's actually very underrated, very funny. I mean, he's good at that, and he's a very, like, forthright actor. I'll tell you a good movie, Gross Point Blank.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Right. No, you're right. You're right. I have to say, because I have to get the segment out of here, I like you better last week. I mean, you're too nice now. Can you find, like, a balance? I liked it when you just crushed and ripped and shredded.
Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's the cool weather that we're having. But this week, I haven't seen it yet, but the only really big movie is Jurassic Park. So maybe that'll be some kind of in between.
That's next week, right?
Yeah, although that does, just on the face of it, doesn't it sound a little more like I either love it or hate it?
Oh, God. Yeah, you know, the previews of it just look dreadful to me. I mean, come on. It's I'm going to sit down, and there's going to be this beautiful island, and then there's going to be some dinosaurs, and there's going to be the dinosaur goes crazy, and then they're going to bring some people in to save the dinosaurs, and then the world's going to be saved, and they're all going to live happily ever after the end, a minute or an hour 50, and people are going to put gobs of money down to see it.
I do feel like, at this point, what else is there to do?
Sure. I want the dinosaurs to eat everybody and say the end. That's it. Dinosaurs die and they ate the cast. That's it.
I am almost certain that that's not what's going to happen.
Yeah, I know. I know. See, I don't want it to be predictable. Look, put the dinosaurs. What was the movie that's doing the earthquakes over in California now that I didn't go see?
San Andreas.
Yeah. Put them in San Andreas. You know, let's mix it up a little bit. You know? Have your head explode off one of these things. So, all right, I'll let you go off that.
Hard to believe you never got that movie sold.
Yeah, right. See ya. There's Bill Goodykins. Yeah, he's right. I'm not a movie producer. I got this great idea. So we're going to have people go to this amusement park as dinosaurs, and then they're going to eat everybody, and then we're going to roll the credits. I mean, Eric, am I right on this? Does Jurassic World look good to you?
No.
Well, you know, last night during the game, the stupid Adam Sandler's new movie looks dreadful. And I'm thinking, I used to like some of the stuff that he put together. Oh, and they're playing it over and over and over.
He's had like four good movies, but those were all
many years ago.
Ever since Waterboy, it's been just a steady downhill slide.
Like, really? Pac-Man and Donkey Kong? Come on. All right. We have the race tomorrow, which we will watch. We will watch the Stanley Cup tomorrow, game two, because it's right after the race, the horse race tomorrow. I will watch a lot of the Diamondbacks. I'm even thinking about going to one of the games this weekend. I'm not sure if I'm going to. And then Sunday I'll watch the finals, and then Monday we'll be back to get it all done. Lots of content, though, through the weekend on sports360az.com. If you've not checked out our site, we're Arizona-centric. We partner with AZ Central Sports. We do a lot of video on the high school, college, pro front. If you've not checked out our recruiting roundup, high school football for college football fans, it's really popular, very popular segment. You can check that out. And of course, the podcast from today's show if you missed any part of it. I'm Brad Sussmatic.